AmericanAir.com.
The Navy says it's going to put women on subs in 2011. My, it's not your father's military anymore. We'll talk about it. Also, over the weekend, Paranormal Activity 2 was number one at the box office. Of course, it's so close to Halloween. People like to have the snot scared out of them. Can you believe the weekend is history? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we roll here, coast to coast and all those spots in between. I don't care about your stripes, left, right, or somewhere in between. You can always throw in your 2 cents, and I'm going to give you the number right at the top, 800-259-5791. Let's repeat it, 800-259-5791. Also, huge, huge over the weekend. Game six, really heading into the weekend. The Texas Rangers, who have never been in a World Series in their 50-year history, decided they would slay the New York Yankees. The Yankees go down. The Rangers are in. Sadly, on the other side of things, in the National League, my Philadelphia Phillies could not pull it out against the San Francisco Giants. Even in front of the city of brotherly love, they lose a tight ball game, 3-2 in the end on Saturday. And the stage is set now. It is the Texas Rangers and the San Francisco Giants. I love baseball, and this World Series I think should be a humdinger. I mean, seriously, I used to cover the Rangers, and the people are pumped all over Texas, not just in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My pal Mike Young covers the Rangers, and he joins us now here right from the get-go. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Kate, you should have been there for Game 6. You and I have been in that ballpark so many times before. The energy was nothing like I've ever heard before at a Dallas Cowboy game. It was phenomenal. I've never felt anything like that. So, yeah, you talk about a bunch of star people wanting some, even just a piece of playoff baseball. Now they're going to the World Series. The place is nuts here right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And the, you know, the post-game show went on and on and on. And what I thought was interesting was that all of the players kept talking about the fans, and Josh Hamilton, who was the MVP, wanted to only give, you know, a lot of the credit to the teammates. And I think it says something about this team. You cover them, so you know. Is it a team that's sort of one for all kind of mentality?
Absolutely. Ron Washington has been the architect of that. He never let this group get too high, never let them get too low. They were always on an even keel, no matter what the situation was in the season. They had a 5-6-7 game winning streak. Okay, fine. They never really banked on that. They lost the equal amount, 5, 6, or 7, same thing. You can really put that square on Ron Washington for keeping this team well focused, especially when you think about all the misery they had being bankrupt at the All-Star break. How do you like that? Going bankrupt at the break, and now you're in the World Series.
Yeah, what's interesting is Tom Hicks was one of the owners who bungled the Rangers past, and then the great Nolan Ryan, the Hall of Famer, the, you know, the guy who's had 7 no-hitters, who just is all about Texas. Now he's the man in charge, and you can just tell he is eating this up, isn't he?
Oh, everybody is here from Nolan, who had to be part of those raw years in the 90s when he finished his career with the Rangers. So, yeah, he's eating it up. The people who have been with the Rangers for many, many years in the front office, they're just loving this. And all the fans who have really had to stay quiet. And you know this by heart,
yeah.
Whenever the Cowboys started training camp, then here we go with the Rangers. No matter how well they're playing, they go down the drain. Cowboys rise up. Can you believe this? This is a complete role reversal now. Now it's the Cowboys going down the tubes and the Rangers are going to the top.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think? I mean, Cliff Lee, the guy's an amazing pitcher, and he's been such a difference maker for them, there's no doubt. So he's one of the keys. But what would you say from watching this team, Mike, for all the people listening in other places who are going to tune in and watch the World Series that kind of know the Rangers but don't know a lot about them, what should they look for? What do you think needs to happen for the Rangers to beat the Giants?
They need to create runs. That's the one thing. This is not your grandpa's team to where they could slug 3, 4, 5 home runs and maybe pull out a win with some mediocre pitching. It's completely different now. The focus is on pitching and catching. That's really it. If you can pitch, you can catch. You're going to win ball games because you're going to have enough offense to go on. But look for the Rangers to take the extra base. Look for the stolen base. Look for the sacrifice hit, the sacrifice fly. whatever it may take, then that's likely what they'll do. And especially, too, you'll see Elvis Andrus at the top of the lineup. He hasn't played much lately, but being out in San Francisco, who knows, you might see Julio Borbón at times as a pinch runner or maybe at the bottom of the lineup if Ron Washington decides to go in that direction. But this is completely an execution-based team. You execute, you win, and that's what the Rangers have been doing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in watching this. You were talking about how the ballpark just vibrated and how long it's been and all the things that have, you know, the payroll disadvantages, the things that they've had to endure, the bankruptcy, all of that sort of stuff. And in watching this team, you know, there's always in matchups, you know this from covering sports for so long, somebody gets dubbed the underdog. I think, and I like, frankly, the underdog. And so, and a lot of people in America adopt underdogs when their team isn't there. Do you think the Rangers or the Giants will be the underdogs in this one?
I think they're both underdogs when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, because then this is going to be a great series. I agree with you on that one. Because the Giants, and by the way, Benji Molina's in a great situation. He gets a ring out of this no matter what happens. Since he was with the Giants, now he's with the Rangers. He's going to get a World Series championship ring somehow.
I love that.
But anyway, yeah, but back to that, too. Both of these teams have a lot of underdog to them. The pitching has been very good on both sides. The Giants also create runs. They also create, you know, steals, sacrifice flies, et cetera. So yeah, you think about all that, and these teams pretty much mirror each other. I like the Rangers in this series, and I've already called it Rangers in six, and the reason I do is just because they have appeared to have executed their plays better than any other team I've seen in baseball this year, even your beloved Phillies.
Oh, I know, the Phillies. You know, the Phillies, Charlie Manuel said it best, I think, that the Phillies, if people were really paying attention, though, weren't hitting pretty much halfway through 09 and then part of this season. And then in the situations where your big guys needed to come through, they absolutely didn't do it. We mentioned Josh Hamilton. He's a big guy for the Rangers, obviously. He's healthy. That's the good news. And you saw how really the Giants in the end walked Hamilton for fear of what he could do with his bat. How much does he mean to this team? Is he the glue for this team?
I would say he's maybe the glue, maybe he's the leader, although there's several guys who could really take that mantle. I think just Josh's spirit, Josh's will to win, Josh's will to do whatever it takes to win has really infected this ball club quite a bit. He's wearing a flak jacket because of the ribs. He'll wear it for the rest of the season. Heck, he might even wear it next year, too, for that matter. He's been talking about it. But you think about all the things that he has entailed, whether it's taking the extra base, diving after a ball, playing solid defense, making a throw, hitting the cutoff man. I think that has really rubbed off on a lot of Ranger players. And some of the veterans who already knew that before now just have that reaffirmed within them that this is what it takes to win. I mean, you don't have to have 30, 35, 40 home runs to, you know, have a winning ball club. I mean, you know, Josh had 32, 33, something of that nature. But it's something when you can play the entire game, the overall game. And as Ron Washington says quite a bit, we play the game with what's in front of us, what we see out there, and we play it to that advantage that we currently have in front of our faces.
Yeah, boy, incredible stuff. Mike, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight and giving us some insight. We appreciate it, and have fun with that series.
No charge. Take care, princess.
All right. Thank you. Giants, 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 Giants and the Rangers. How about that? You know, Josh Hamilton hit 350 when they were pitching to him against the Yankees. He has a monster bat. We're talking some football next with Ed Berliner. Hang with us.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Well, another Sunday night football game is in the books. You know, we do that nail the score thing. So we're going to talk about nail the score and if anybody won coming up a little bit later on here in the show. Let's say somebody might have come close. Did you think the Vikings were going to knock off the Green Bay Packers? If you did, ha-ha, you were wrong. One of my favorite people to talk to about football is my pal Ed Berliner, and he just has such an interesting way of looking at sports. And Ed wrote, in fact, something about Michael Vick. You know, I'm a longtime Eagles fan. You might have caught it. It was on Huffington Post. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, the world is still spinning on the Brett Favre access. So, Ed, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight again.
It's always a pleasure to come on and find new and exciting ways for me to get in an argument.
I love that. All right, so let's talk about the Brett Favre thing. The pictures now, he copped to the voicemails to this woman that used to work for the Jets, and he said that he did that, but the pictures weren't his. Now we've lived this for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I guess. It's actually been 2 weeks. And I'm wondering how much, first, before we get into that, how much do you think this has affected Brett Favre?
I don't think it's affected him as much as his age has. I mean, Brett's done. He's getting older. He's done what a lot of athletes have done. He's come back a little bit too far. He's tried to stretch his body too far. And he's just too beat up. I honestly, knowing Favre and knowing players in the NFL, I don't believe this has really had any kind of a problem. I mean, look, the guy was looking to cheat 2 years ago. It's not like it's something that all of a sudden has been coming out of the woodwork here. He knows it. And let's go one step further. He's stupid, just like a lot of players are and a lot of athletes and a lot of people. He leaves his voice on a voicemail.
Yeah.
What, like all of a sudden you believe it's not going to get heard or found? I mean, he's just stupid. I've seen the whole thing, and the website that started this is a gutter-dwelling, bottom-feeding website that does nothing more, and I'm not even going to dignify their name, but does nothing more than throw out rumors and innuendo, and they look for as much lewd photography and inside dirt as they can possibly get. That's what they make their name on. I've seen the whole thing. I didn't believe the pictures to begin with. I thought they were crass. I knew it was Favre. You could tell it was his voice when you heard this the first time.
Sure.
There was no doubt about that. But here's the thing that I can't quite get off as far as the topic is concerned. Jen Sturger claims she wants to have some kind of resolution in this. All of a sudden, she's got a manager here. This is a woman who made her big splash by being photographed at Florida State University football games with a cut jersey showing her girls, mm-hmm. her assets, as much as she could. That's how she got, how she became a national figure, if you will,
right.
Simply because of that. And this was 2 years ago. If she was truly that upset by it, you go to the Jets, you go to the NFL, you don't hold on to this for 2 years and then conveniently find a way to have it leaked when your 15 minutes of fame are up. I mean, there's no doubt Brett Favre is a cheater. He's scum for that. He went ahead and tried to cheat on his wife like 6 billion other athletes. No doubt. I'm not taking away from that.
Right.
But she's just, as far as I'm concerned, her 15 minutes were up a long time ago. She's working on somebody else's 15 right now, and she's nothing more than just someone looking for the media attention.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. There's no doubt about it. And then somebody calling her a credible sports analyst, I heard that somewhere. I thought, you got to be kidding
please.
Me. No offense. But for any woman who goes into the field that's sincere about it, that does their research and their homework and is in the trenches every day, what a slap in the face that is. And
she and Inez Sainz, the reporter who was recently in the news, have done more to set back women in sports broadcasting than anybody in the last few years. Sturger's not a reporter. She's a sideline bimbo, is all she was, and she was put there on the Jets broadcast team, not even on the broadcast team, on their cable team, simply because of her looks. And Inez Sainz is a good reporter. But if you're so worried about being taken seriously, why then do you get on Twitter and put it out there that I'm not feeling very comfortable right now? Come on, please. I know a lot of great, great female sports reporters and news reporters. You don't do that. That's not something you do. You do your job, and you do it well. She's just another person looking for attention.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about Favre, that really mainly it's done. He's done. That's what the deal is here. So you think the Vikings just ride this train with him till the end of the season and then that's it?
Well, I don't think they can. I don't think he's got much left right now. The injuries are starting to hurt him. His elbow is obviously hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't ride him. They really don't. The Vikings made a mistake because they thought that Favre had a couple of more years in him. Well, he really didn't. And it's a mistake that you can understand because he actually was good last year. I mean, you saw what he what he did. It wasn't like he was.
Yep.
It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Brett Favre has, you know, he was bad last year and they're taking a chance. No, the injuries have caught up with him and they got nowhere to go right now. I mean, the Vikings are done. It's and not only that, but you know they've got Adrian Peterson. It's a shame, but I just don't see how they're going to get the ball to Harvin or Peterson or Moss or anybody else if they don't have a good quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Now, a team on the other end of the spectrum and jumping over, of course, to the AFC, looking at the Steelers, boy, it looks like they're going to click on all cylinders, especially now that Ben Roethlisberger is back. Once he really starts to tick it in, I think they go to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Well, I think they can. I think Roethlisberger is going to get better. But this is the most talked about game of the day here. And I've got to be honest, this is before you called. I'm sitting here with about 300 of my closest friends on Facebook who are just assailing a comment that I made where I basically said, enough with the fumble call, all right? The Dolphins had two chances to score within the 22-yard line of the Steelers in the first minute 58 of the game, and they came away with field goals. They had a chance to get their team, to get their field goal kicker in range late in the game and came up short. Their offense is awful in the red zone. Their two-minute offense is terrible. Their third-down defense is terrible. They didn't lose that game on the last play. They lost it because they couldn't execute early in the game. Now, having said that, Roethlisberger did fumble. There's no two ways about it. The video is conclusive.
Yep.
But, again, it's the way the rule is written when it comes down to possession. I don't like it. It's another one of these grand loopholes. But unfortunately, the officials didn't see it. They had nowhere else to go. They fell back on the rule. I think that Roethlisberger back makes the Steelers, I'm afraid to say, the best team in the NFL right now, simply because the Jets are so erratic. And we really don't know what we're getting with the Jets from one game to another. And I still think that the Patriots at 5-1. Nobody talks about the Patriots right
now.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
They look past them because they feel that this is a team that's just not that good without Randy Moss. Come on, they're 5-1.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people overlook them. But let me say this: the worst team in the NFL today is the Denver Broncos.
Oh, terrible.
I gotta tell you, I wasn't watching that game, but when I looked up and I saw the score, I said, "Excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
59-14. Yeah.
I mean, they may as well go ahead and, you know, I understand that Tim Tebow is going to apply for another year of eligibility at Florida.
But I'm pumped. That was the best line. We're like running out of time. I'm not even going to get to Vic. I got to ask you this, though. This is more important than the Vic stuff. The crackdown on the violent hits in the NFL. You've covered the NFL. I've covered the NFL. What do you think?
I think it's proper. The NFL has become, look, to me, the art of the NFL is the tackling, the finesse, the wonder of the game. It's a contact sport. The players are getting stronger and faster. The equipment is getting better, and it's also allowing them to become more aggressive. And there is the opportunity more than ever before to injure somebody and to kill somebody. Now, having said all that, I will also back this up by saying I have been in more locker rooms and in more fields and watched more practices where I have heard coaches tell players to kill the other guy, to break legs. I've heard players talk about it. It is a very physical, violent game, and you have to play that to a certain point. To go out and headhunt, as Harrison did, was just unconscionable, because I don't know about you, and certainly a lot of the audience probably doesn't remember this, but I remember the hit Daryl Stingley took from Jack Taylor 500 years ago, which put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And Tatum used his head. Somebody's going to get killed one day because the equipment, and specifically the helmets, cannot take the kind of punishment that is given out every day. I think it's proper, and I think it'll make the game better in the long run. So to everybody out there who says that Roger Goodell is putting skirts on everybody, come on, stop, enjoy the games. They're still good.
I agree with you, absolutely. What a way to end. Ed, if everyone wants to catch your stuff, where can they catch it? The Huffington Post, I see you've got a lot of things there. And where else?
Huffington Post, I write for occasionally. Most of my and all of my current stuff can be seen on the National Examiner. Just go to examiner.com and search out my name there, Ed Berliner, and you'll find a lot of my stuff. And one of these days, you and I do have to get back together again and talk about Michael Vick, because I don't have a problem with him getting a job, but
right.
I will never forgive him for being a bloodthirsty killer.
All right, I agree with that. I'm a dog lover, so I understand where you're going with that. Ed, thanks so much. You were terrific. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Anytime, Kate. Be well.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. Fires are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 air purifier risk-free for 30 days. JCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete
with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Attention, an important product from HempUSA.org microplant powder will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
All right, coming up, we're going to dig into some of the tighter races, November 2nd. I know you're all going to go out there and vote, right? So that when you whine and complain and vent, you at least have taken the time to throw in on who you think should be representing you in Washington. Quickly, I'll tell you this. A new poll has Jerry Brown, the former governor, two-term governor of California way back when. He was dating Linda Ronstadt in the 70s. Leading Meg Whitman in that race. And I think they're really playing up she had a maid who was an illegal immigrant. Oops, did she know? And all of that. And that's helped him in some of the ad process. And I think with some of the massive Latino population who are leaning toward Brown, as long as they go and vote, because polls are polls, and somebody might say, that's who I'm voting for, and then it comes to election day, and they don't go out and vote. But usually the polls are somewhat close. So you got that race starting to pull away, and then you have a couple of other Senate races that are tightening big time. I'm going to run through those with you, too. I want to say here quickly, since we were just talking to Ed Berliner about some of what was happening in football. We do this Nail the Score thing. If you haven't heard it, it's on Thursday/Friday morning, easy for me to say, and it's in our third segment. The game of the week was the Steelers-Miami game. The final score was the Steelers 23, Miami 22. Ed was talking about people whining about the fumble and what happened as time was also ticking away in that game, really. So did anybody even come close to nailing the score? Well, I said the Steelers would win 27-17. We had a couple people who thought 24, like Clifford in Missouri said 24-21. That's pretty close, huh? He picked the Steelers, but nobody had 23-22. I know. I'm sorry about that. That's week 7 in the NFL, so we go to week 8 in the NFL. Perhaps somebody will get lucky the next time around. All right, let's fly out to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How are you doing, gorgeous?
Good. How are you? How was your weekend?
Besides busy with reffing football.
Uh-huh.
And some kid, okay, right now we're in our playoffs up here in Montreal. Some 13-year-old kid, I'm going to do like they do in the NFL. You know, with the headshots.
Right.
So I walked up to him with his coach and I said, even think about it and you can go home right now.
Oh, you do not take any abuse on that field.
Right. So then the coach said, okay, John, goodbye. Leave. Goodbye. So then, you know, the kid's crying, you know, in a way I felt just a little sorry. I mean, so then his father comes running over and says, how come my kid's not playing? Because he wants to do a headshot. So then, and the referee told me either he cuts it out, and then the referee says, so then the parent comes up to me and he goes, you can't tell my son how to play a game. When it comes to that, sir, yeah, what's more important, the kid's safety or your ego? He said, well, if they can't take it, they shouldn't be playing football. I went, sir, you can leave too.
There you go.
Yeah, so then after they left, everything went as smooth as silk. And Elizabeth made a great pass interference call that would make any NFL official drool with envy, because she did it textbook, you know, and called it, and we were both, and she was being supervised, and it was up to me. I'd give her a provincial final, but because it's only her second year, she's going to get a consolation final, which isn't bad for a second-year referee.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it. And I saw the highlight of the Pittsburgh-Miami game. I'm not going to say anything because, don't forget, they're NFL officials. I'm just doing little kids football. So as a rule, I don't say a word. At least that's me personally. But I was watching the tail end, and Bob Costas was talking to somebody. It seems to be the NFL competition committee is going to get together during the offseason just to clarify, okay, there was a fumble.
Right.
Okay. You know, you don't have to worry. Okay, from what I understood, what the referee said, nobody was in control. So Pittsburgh got the ball back. I mean, there should be something, you know, definitive. You know,
right?
You know, I think that's what the competition committee, I think, is going to discuss. So, obviously, you know more about that than I do.
Well, here's the thing, and you know this from being a referee.
Right.
You know it's just that, of course, it depends on, you know, what side you root for. So,
right,
you know, Big Ben's goal line snafu, the fumble,
right.
Pittsburgh ends up topping Miami, and you heard me say what the score was because nobody nailed the score, 23-22. I mean,
right,
for people in Miami, they're going to whine forever and a day about this because,
right,
hey, it was a botched call. It was a botched call. That's what it was.
Yeah, and I know, like here at TSN, the sports network here, had the Miami Dolphins radio broadcast, and one of the commentators said, that call makes me sick.
Yeah, because the late touchdown was, you know, really a fumble, but
right,
who recovered, that was the thing. Pittsburgh keeps the ball. They kick, like I said, they boot the field goal, and that end zone scrum was frantic, to be sure.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, if I was Miami, I mean, that's the thing. It's the clear video evidence. I mean, that's the deal. And there you didn't really have that. It's, there
right,
was just a pile of bodies. But there needs to be some more clarification. There's for sure.
Right. And by the way, even though the Alouettes clinched first place here in the Eastern Conference here in the CFL, they got clobbered Friday night. But that's another story. 40.
That's another story for another time. Thanks, Sam.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You too. So, once again, we're just repeating, in case you didn't hear me and just jumped on the air and said, what is she talking about? Nailed the score. Nobody did this time around. It was a strange finish, and The final score is what I just told you. 1 point difference between the Steelers and Miami. A couple of people a little bit close, but not close enough. It's not horseshoes. It's nailing it. So when you hit it on the head, you get the bragging rights. You get to empty the prize closet. How exciting is that? Let's move on to a couple of other things because we've barely scratched the surface here. It's going to be an interesting week in Washington. There's going to be a lot of economic talk, and of course there is, because we're getting closer to those midterm elections, and the frustration, you can feel it bubbling over by people who are worried about the avalanche of what's going to happen with healthcare. I know I've told this on a personal note. My mother was telling me that her healthcare, and she just retired a year ago, that her healthcare is going up 7%. Some people, healthcare has gone up even worse than that. We're talking, you know, 25%. And then always, and the question is about taxes and tax brackets, and always what somebody will say back is, listen, somehow you got to pay for it. I mean, somehow we have to cut the nonsense. So maybe we pay for a couple of years, but then it gets better. What? Isn't there a way to somehow hedge this a little bit when we're in the worst recession of my time, of many of your times that we can remember since going back to World War II? That's why I was for a freeze on the taxes, a year, 2 years. Give people some bounce room, even a year, for goodness sake. I don't think that's happening. But that's the problem. If when everything, you don't get a cost of living increase on Social Security, but yet your insurance goes up. Because remember, people have to have supplemental insurance. And I'm talking about older people. Then the premiums or what you have to kick in at your job goes up. I mean, it's just got disaster written all over it, no matter what age bracket that you fall into. That's the problem. All right, this was one of the most shocking statistics that I happened to see over the weekend, and I underlined it and highlighted it in my little notebook. The CDC is saying that 1 in 3 of us are going to have diabetes by 2050. That's terrible. Listen, diabetes is a disease that can be a slow killer where you can lose limbs to diabetes. So we're talking type 2 if the trend continues. That's what they're saying out of Atlanta, because that's where, of course, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are. They're talking about, they're highlighting the need for, one, type 2 diabetes is triggered by a couple of different things. Of course, there's always the family history and race, but that's part of what goes into it, a lot of things anyway, when it comes to your health. Then the controllable factors, obesity and inactivity. So if this is the seventh leading cause of death in the United States, and this is going back 3 years, and it's the leading cause, this is the scary thing to me, of leg and foot amputations, this is what else you could possibly get, kidney failure, and new cases of blindness in adults under the age of 75, I'm thinking the word needs to get out that people need to lose some weight and start to ramp up the exercise. Got to ramp up that exercise. Most prevalent, African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, they have a high risk of developing diabetes. But a lot of that type 2 does also go to eating habits and being really, really big. You know, those choices. I mean, look, if we want to eat fast food, we're going to eat fast food. But 20 pounds overweight is different than 150 pounds overweight. And, boy, if you knew at the end of that extra 150 pounds was an amputation waiting, ooh, seems like a horrible thing to have to go through for the sake of eating too much food. And I told you about paranormal, too. 41.5 million is what it raked in at the box office. You know, the first one they made for a song, so they did a part two. That's incredible. 41.5. This is the first weekend it opened. See, it's perfect with the Halloween thing. All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods and after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With zero debt in 90 days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
And ends, folks. Juan Williams, we talked about it last week. A lot of you blew up the phone lines, and that means you called a lot, by the way. And you sent a bunch of emails to AmericaTonight.net. So Williams, free from the binds or the constriction of NPR, which I've said this, that there's some programs I like on NPR. I've listened to a lot of the local shows and some of the syndicated shows that they have. Not so much the politics, though. Not so many of the political shows. Anyway, he's an ex-analyst for NPR now, and of course he works for Fox after visiting Bill O'Reilly's show and making a comment about Muslims and saying that in the course of what he was saying, that to be honest, when he gets on a plane and he sees someone fully decked out in Muslim clothing, you know, the religious clothing, that he feels a little uncomfortable. And then that was it. He was cut off. They didn't call him to the office and fire him. They backdoored him and just said, you're done. That's it. He was fired, period, end of story, after he said that he gets nervous when he sees those passengers on a plane. So this is about free speech and political correctness and everything else. I mean, you could go in a lot of different directions with it. He's now getting $2 million, so you can't feel too sorry for Williams at Fox. And he's on the Fox News Sunday show. He's going to be a full-time contributor. And because he's joined now the other side, basically, he doesn't have to hold back what he feels. And he says that he thinks the debate over his treatment by NPR is an important moment in American public life. And I like what he said. He said, you know, Americans feel that there's nothing wrong in telling someone how you feel. And then to be punished for that's unfair, and it amounts to censorship. It's important that people be able to talk to each other across political lines. And what do I say all the time on the show? And I invite it. I say left of left, right of right, somewhere in between. Why can't we have a conversation? Why do we have to smash each other over the head with baseball bats? And that's what he's equating it to. He's saying that NPR really didn't like the fact that he was on Fox News anyway, and the Muslim remark was probably just the pretext to dump him. And also he said that he was upset by the network's handling of how he was fired, that the innuendo that somehow he was unstable, he said he thought was despicable. And the reason is because here's the throwing him under the bus remark. The CEO of NPR, her name's Vivian Schiller, she said heading into the weekend that Williams' beliefs should stay between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist. And so then what happens, of course, she apologizes later for the remarks. But he said that it's basically the typical character assassination deal. And now NPR, of course, is a target of congressional Republicans because they've kicked the door open for this since the firing. Because they're saying, listen, let's defund this baby. Why are we funding this? The House Minority Whip Eric Cantor said he's going to include NPR's federal funding into a contest that lets Americans vote on top programs for Republicans to cut from the budget. And they gave, you know, NPR gave the opening by doing what they did. I think the thing is, look, if they wanted to fire him, okay, they fire him, but it's also the way they did it. It was stupid to do it the way they did it, and it just invited more problems, I think, for NPR and looking under the hood of how they do business. But, hey, like I said, the upshot of this is Juan Williams is going to work for Fox, already has started work, and he's making, you know, he's making good cash from Fox, so he won't be on NPR. That's what happens, right? This is another big story on odds and ends that we want to get to, and then I promise if anyone calls in, we're going to get to the phone lines, 800-259-5791. Tiffany Hartley, you know, the wife of David Hartley, does that name ring a bell? She was a woman who was with her husband on a jet ski when he was shot, allegedly, because they've never found the body yet. He was allegedly shot and killed by people who thought he was part of the drug cartel or something. Mexican pirates, in other words, on the border lake with Texas is where they were. And she spoke out. She held a little press conference at her parents' home in Colorado and said that it's time for the president to take on the drug cartels, that he has to wake up and look at what's happening in our own backyard, and that her husband's death should be a focal point as to why the U.S. needs to start to pay attention, because he's not the only American who's been killed, but his situation may be a turning point. So she's in Colorado. Her husband was shot September 30th by some gunmen who ambushed them on the Mexican side of a place called Falcon Lake, where pirates have robbed several Americans this year. Listen, I'll say it again, and I've gone to Mexico, plenty of places in Mexico in my entire life, probably 200 times. And right now, I would not go to Mexico. I don't know that I think even the resort areas are safe. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hey, Dano.
Hey, Kate. Condolences on your Phillies. And I would like to do something for you since you said you were a dog lover. Do I have about 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Cindy Lou was just a little dog, brown fur with a neck patch of white. but she would always bid you welcome, whether it was day or night. She kept a watch on all the ranch in case strangers might appear. Good nose, keen eye, sharp ear. One afternoon I went out of walking. It was such a pretty day, but Cindy Lou knew things weren't right and kept getting in my way. I said, "Cindy, get out of here. You're messing up my pace." She ran on ahead like a scolded dog will do, but soon wandered back in place. I came through my orchard to my pasture in the back, when suddenly the beller of my neighbor's bull stopped me in my track. He'd busted through my fence again, and I was under attack. I sized up the situation as the bull's charge ate up the ground. It was too far for a run to safety, and there wasn't a rock or a stick around. When suddenly I heard a bark, and saw a brown blur in a whirl. The face 1,500 pounds of hate was my little Cindy girl. She circled round and nipped his heels and circled round and nipped his nose. Man, she put on quite a show. As around and around, he was under attack and had no place to go. Finally, with a beller, he broke and run back through the fence to the only home and safety he knew. And I was saved from the horns of death by my little Cindy Lou.
Oh, that's pretty good. You're good at this.
Thank
you're
you.
You're a poet.
Yes, I am.
Is Cindy Lou, is that a dog, one of your dogs?
That was the dog I owned.
Oh,
she was just
good.
A sweet dog, and so I wrote that poem and made her a hero. It never really happened. It's just, she was such a special pup that she's a little Queensland heeler, and I miss her to this day. But she used to take care of me on the ranch, and I couldn't go anywhere or move without her being right there beside me or next to me. And I know you are a dog lover, and I want to put that in. Okay, now let's get to some politics.
Go for it.
We're going to have increases in all of our expenses, like you're talking about your mother and her medical care. There is some secret things in that we still don't know about, that health care thing. That has to be repealed. Now, you buy insurance through whatever agency you buy, and you can buy it anywhere in the continental United States, right? Why couldn't we do the same thing by passing the legislation necessary that allows the insurance companies to issue insurance all across the United States to anybody that wanted health care coverage, and it'd be just like regular insurance that you buy for your car, your house, whatever, and they would be competition, the price would come down, the coverage would be extended, and we wouldn't have to worry about it.
Oh, I agree with you. What a note to end on, Dan, thanks. That's the problem. They raced the state lines. I mean, how many of us have said that there is a way to do this? Because if there's competition and that's the way you get health insurance, to be sure, it would probably be much more affordable. All right, I'm going to leave you with this thought from Khrushchev, who said, "Politicians are the same all over. They promise to build a bridge even where they know there isn't a river."
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?